Let's try this again. Hello, Queen's Club. Forgot to turn the audio on. How is everybody? I'm guessing you can hear me now, correct? Now that I've turned it all on. We are going to talk tonight about... Great, thanks. We're going to talk tonight a little bit about my new coaching certification, why I chose Brendan, and what I learned and how it applies to weight loss. So for those of you who do not know, in November, I spent a week in Scottsdale, Arizona with Brendan Burchard, who is a motivational, inspirational, self-development kind of guy who has a podcast called The Brendan Show. And he is super positive, super energetic. I just love I just love the way he shows up in the world. He shows up, he's got this big dimple down his right cheek. He's always smiling. He's always energetic. He's always a go-getter. I just really, really love the energy he brings to the world. Every time I hear him speak, I'm smiling. Just because he's just so positive and he's so uplifting. So when I was looking for self-development, I love going to conferences. I love, you know, being in the room. So I had just been looking and looking and trying to decide, you know, what did I want to do to better my coaching skills? And after Corinne and Jane, her friend Jane, came back from a weekend called High Performance Academy with Brendan, she said, you've got to check him out. So I did. And of course, I had been listening to his podcast and I thought, he's the guy. He's the one. That's the coach training I'm going to go to, because, you know, it just seemed a little bit different message. Maybe same message, but taught in a different way. And I thought, this will only complement what we do here at PMP. So I signed up. I did my application video. I did my all the things. I actually heard that I'd been accepted at DSB. So it was a good day. And I was super excited. So went in November, Corinne went too. We spent the week learning about high performance. So his coaching program is called Certified High Performance Coaching. And it's based a lot on his book, High Performance Habits. Okay, this is the book, Brendan Burchard. I read it, loved it. Very easy to read, but full of really great nuggets. And in reading this book and listening to him, I decided he's the guy. So that's what I did. I went to Scottsdale and I spent a week learning about 5 topics I'm going to share with you tonight. Okay. These are called these are 5 of his 6 high performance habits that he covers in this book. But I wanted to first give you just a little background around why I chose him and the energy he brings and everything, just because I like him so much. Okay. So the 5 habits that he talks about are clarity, energy, courage, productivity, and influence. Okay, and I'm just going to run through these really quick, define them for you, and tell you kind of what I learned about them just really briefly and how I believe they apply to us at PMP. Okay, so high performers, that's his term, high performers have remarkable clarity about who they are, how they treat others, and what life principles and practices keep them progressing and performing at their best. You know, people with high clarity know who they are and who they want to be. They know what their goals are, right? You generate clarity by asking questions, researching, trying new things, sorting through different opportunities, and deciding what's right for you. Clarity comes from careful thought and mindful experimentation. I was super clear that I wanted to be taught by Brendan Burchard, okay? Because I had done my research. I had listened to different things and I made a decision. That was my goal. Okay. Clarity. You might, if you've ever done any work on your purpose in life, if you have, you can do work to obtain clarity around your purpose, around your goals. Okay. Energy. Let's talk about energy. Number two, high performers understand how much energy you have each day and how to amplify it to higher levels so that you have the vibrancy and stamina needed to achieve your goals. Okay. And he says, and to live a fully charged life. That's why he's so positive all the time. He nurtures his physical and emotional energy. That's why he's so positive. That's why he's so healthy, because he works at maintaining his stamina. He works at how he's going to show up in his vibrancy. It's really, really important, because if you have low energy, you feel less happy, less motivated. You don't take on big challenges. You feel like everyone is passing by you. Your confidence tanks, and you don't eat very well, right? Increase your energy, you increase all those things. The more energy you have, the more open you are to learning, to being creative, to speaking up, to taking action towards your dreams. Number three is courage. High performers act courageously in facing their challenges and chasing their dreams. So Mark Twain has a great quote on courage. He says, courage isn't fearlessness. It's taking action and persisting despite that fear. How many times have y'all seen in the tribe, hashtag no matter what, right? When you're doing something no matter what, it's because you are summoning up some courage. It's making decisions. It's standing up for what we need. It's ordering a salad when everyone else wants a hamburger. It's staying on the plan that you created. It's not giving up on what you planned just because somebody says, hey, wouldn't we rather have this instead of that? No, it's sticking to the plan. That takes courage sometimes to advocate for ourselves. It's attending a coaching call instead of doing the dishes or folding the laundry. Courage is also sending a Marco Polo to your accountability group when you overeat. Or sometimes courage is offering an opinion or a thought or help to someone else, right? So it's acting despite whatever fear or insecurity that you have. It's no matter what. Number four is productivity. The basics of becoming more productive are setting goals and maintaining energy and focus. See how they're starting to interrelate, right? Clarity is the goals. Energy, focus, all that together creates productivity. It's needed to create productivity. So it starts with the goals. When you have clear and challenging goals, you're more focused, you're more engaged. And that all that leads to a greater sense of flow and enjoyment in what you're doing. So what's flow, right? Flow is momentum. Flow is the energy at a high level with you doing all the things. Think about, have you ever been at work and you've gotten so into the project that you're working on that you look up and it's 2 hours later and you've been super productive. You've been in flow, okay? Flow and productivity go very well together. Think about the four circles. You have clear and challenging weight loss goal, right? We talked about that for a year. You break that down into a month, into a week, and then into daily action steps. That's how you summon productivity. Productivity also includes data analysis, assessments, 1% levels up, and it's all about planning and execution. Being very clear on what will get you to goal and doing those things with abundant energy, clarity, and courage creates productivity. Isn't this cool? Y'all, I just geek out on this stuff. Number five. To me, number five is the toughest one. It's the toughest one to conceptualize. It's influence. Most of the other high performance habits are under our direct control. You choose to seek clarity. The level of energy you feel is largely under your control. How productive you are is also up to you, but influence is a little bit different. It's taking into consideration how you are able to shape other people's beliefs and desires. Now, I know you can't make people think something, but you can absolutely be a role model. You can absolutely have an impact on the world based on how you show up. Think about Corinne, right? Great influencers teach us how to think. They challenge us, and they role model the way to success. Corinne, the other coaches, even the mentors, all these women, and even our tribe sisters, right? All these women teach us every day how to lose weight, how to find resources, how to improve our lives, how to level up our thoughts. They're always there for us, impacting our lives. As a tribe member, think about the way you can influence others. Maybe in your accountability groups. Maybe with a tribe post. Maybe with an offer of help on a tribe post. Maybe you're impacting people at home. I hear stories all the time about, you know, I started planning my meals and following my plan, and my husband started asking me what's on the plan, right? You have an impact based on how you show up in the world. And I just find that to be so empowering, to know that every single one of us has an impact in the world. So what are you teaching and role modeling? What kind of impact are you having? What kind of impact do you want to have? That's influence. So these five habits are really the core coaching tenets of high performance coaching, of the stuff that I learned that week. They come together so well and interrelate, you know, in an amazing way, right? So to recap, clarity is knowing what you're doing and why. Energy is making sure you nurture your mind and your body in a positive way. Courage is doing all the things no matter what. Productivity is looking at the data, scheduling the tasks, getting the work done. And influence is being the person you want to be for yourself and others so that you can create momentum and have impact. So as I was thinking about this, I had this big, huge aha moment myself. Okay. This is the model, y'all. He was in his own way teaching the model, right? Look at this. I'm gonna pull up my whiteboard because I wrote it out for you. Okay. The C line is your goal, right? I have 80 pounds to lose. The thought line is your clarity about your goal. And it could be, it's what you think about your goal. This is doable. I can absolutely lose this 80 pounds. The feelings line is the energy, the feeling of energy, and the courage you bring, right? I can do the goal. Courage, right? Positivity, excitement, right? Those generate productivity. Scheduling, doing, committing is part of productivity. Committing to all the actions that you need to do as a result of courage because you believe in that you can create your goal. And the result is the influence. How you show up creates your own momentum, and who you impact, you know, is also in the result line. So I know other people can't be in your result line, but you and how you show up and the influence you create is definitely a result line item. Pretty slick, right? Brendan knows what he's doing. So it was very cool to see all the concepts that we teach taught in a new way. And I think that was the biggest thing I got out of this. Also, all of this high performance habit stuff, y'all, if you read this book, will affect how you show up at work, how you show up for yourself, how you show up in your weight loss, all the things. It's just super cool, super cool. So that's my spiel. That's what I wanted to share with you, really. The very, very basics about how what I learned in high performance coaching does apply to weight loss. If you have questions about this, about holidays, about gift of fat, about anything you're working on, feel free to pop them into the Q&A. I will take questions. We have 45 more minutes together. So if anybody wants to get coached on any of this, if you have any questions about it, if you have anything else going on that you want to be coached on, this call is for you. Okay, we're here for an hour at least, and I'm here to do whatever you need. So let's see what everybody is talking about. Judy says, I love this. It's easy to forget that we all have impact. You absolutely have impact. I sometimes I am amazed at the impact that we have on the lives of others. I never expected to have impact on anything other than the budget in the state of Tennessee. But just by showing up and doing my own work, having clarity about my goal, and bringing energy and courage to my journey and doing all the things, I became a success story for Corinne, just like many of you have. You guys are success stories. It's really, really important that you remember that folks in your life watch you, that the people around you see your energy and your positivity and your confidence in how you're doing things. It's just really, really cool how we can shape, how we can help shape others, you know, based on how we show up in the world. So Debbie says, yes, they're paying attention. What are some of the things he does to boost his energy? He eats very clean. He works out, he runs, does weights. He is just a super healthy guy. He talks to himself all the time. He has amazing self-talk. He will ask himself, I was listening to one of his trainings in the, he has like a coaching site, you know, with lessons and workshops and stuff. And I was listening to one of those today, and he says he will, just standing in line at the store, he'll ask himself, so how's your energy right now? How's your energy? He's always focused on making sure he's positive and optimistic and his energy is high. So because energy is in the feelings line and is created by thought. So if he's thinking, now's the time for me to be super positive. Now's the time for me to be upbeat. I'm fixing to record a lesson or I'm fixing to give a presentation. He creates energy. He creates his own energy by reminding himself that he wants to have energy. He wants to have positive energy. Sylvie says, I didn't realize until you went over this that I lean towards being low energy and what that looks like versus the healthy lifestyle that Brendan leads. Yeah, you know, I don't think we ever realize sometimes when we bring low energy. It's like I was saying, you can see your low energy in how you show up, you know, in your food choices, in whether or not you're following your plan, in doing those kinds of things, right? What were some of the effects I was saying on that energy had on you, or low energy had on you? You don't take on big challenges. You're less motivated, right? If you ask yourself, what is my energy going to be like today? How do I think about, and I'm not getting all woo here. I'm just talking about your brain's positivity. You can swap energy and positivity and optimism. You know, they're all interrelated, right? If you just want to say, how am I going to show up for myself today? What kind of energy am I going to bring to my life today? Right? Then you're going to answer whether or not you follow your plan, whether or not you're, you know, going to drink your water, whether or not you're going to show up for yourself. So Paige eats as clean as possible and does her brain octane, along with probiotics and other vitamins. It's a game changer. Yeah. Yeah. It does come back to the four basics in many ways. It's just that for me, these can be difficult to achieve on some days. Why, Kim? Why are they difficult? That's a thought. They're difficult to achieve on some days is a thought, right? What if you were to tell yourself, Today, I just need to show up with a little bit more energy and courage to make sure I show up for my four basics today. What do I have to do no matter what? How do I have to think no matter what in order to show up for my four basics today? All right, we got a couple questions in the Q&A. So I'm going to get out of the chat. So if you guys have questions for me, stick them in the Q&A. 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 Let me bring it over here. Kim says, I seem to be in a place in my life where I'm not sure I have clarity or purpose. My one goal is weight loss, but beyond this, I'm unclear. Any suggestions he offers for this? It's possible I'm just in a transitional period in life. Well, how many goals do you think you need at one time, Kim? You can have a multiple number of goals, I suppose. But I think, and here's a little plug for Corinne's December 30th goal setting webinar, you should have one main goal in life. And if yours is weight loss, think about the clarity you'll get on this goal line. If you have lose weight, get my master's degree, feed the kids, go to Rome, you know, travel. If you have all these goals, think about how spread out you're going to be with your energy. Which one are you going to apply energy to in that day? Which one are you going to apply courage to in that day if you have a whole bunch of goals? So if you have one main goal, and that's to lose, I would put a number on it, Kim. I would say how many pounds I'm going to lose. Like mine was 80. My goal was to lose 80 pounds. And I was very clear on what that goal was, how to measure it, and what I wanted and why I wanted it, right? And what I had to do for it. So this model becomes very simple when you have clarity about why you want your goal and who you want to be. If you need more, raise your hand and we'll coach on this because this is a really good topic. Cranky says, after a 40-pound loss, I'm stalled. It's like I've accepted where I'm at, but I know I need to lose another 40, having difficulty getting back to the discipline I once had. I tell myself, just start with one thing, drink your water or whatever, but I never even do the one thing. I know what to do, I just don't do it. I know you don't have a magic answer for me. I'm ultimately the one to do it. Curious if others have had this problem or what may have been a good kickstart for them. Yes, I need more positive energy. You generate your own positive energy, right? You decide you're going to be committed to that one basic. Sounds to me like what you're doing is, all right, I'm going to drink my water tomorrow, maybe. I think that's what I'll pick. You're not committed to it. If you come in and say, I'm committed to 64 ounces of water today, and here's how I'm going to do it, all of a sudden you have clarity. You know what your goal is, and you know how you're going to do it. Then you summon the courage, no matter what your brain is telling you, you don't need that water. I'm not really thirsty right now. You say, I don't care what you're saying. I'm summoning courage. I'm going to do this. Productivity. You might even schedule it. You might even say, I'm doing this. I'm committing it. Here's when I'm doing it. He's big on calendaring. Brendan is super big on calendaring things, just like Corinne is. Then you've shown up for yourself, right? You've created your own momentum because you have actually done the things. Okay? So what you need is a commitment to improving yourself. What you need is a commitment to yourself to do the things that you say you want to do. Okay? Not a, well, I have 40 more pounds to lose and I don't know how I'm going to do it. All right? That's not going to get you. That's not going to get you commitment. That's going to get you confusion and procrastination and avoidance. So that's sort of where you are right now, right? Any other questions? I'm going to see if anybody has their hand raised. That's exactly it. I need to work on building my commitment to myself. Yeah. Y'all, who better to be committed to than yourself? I was talking to somebody about this today. Who was I talking to? Oh, the girl that got my hair. She was talking about how I always do everything for everybody else and I never have time for me. Why not? How can you expect to show up your best self if you are not taking care of your physical and emotional energy? How do you do that? You get your sleep, you drink your water, you eat well, you take time for yourself. Maybe you meditate, maybe you pray, maybe you read, maybe you gift yourself a little bit of quiet time to recharge. That's my biggest gift, is quiet time. That's how I take care of my emotional energy, is I allow myself time to recharge. I allow myself a little bit of movement each day. I haven't allowed myself movement yet today, but I'm going to as soon as this call is over. I have to nurture my own well-being in order to do my job, to take care of my grandkids when they come over, to take care of my husband. I have to do all those things to show up my best, right? Back to the influence. This influence piece is not just impacting others. It's creating the own self-belief that you can keep going. It's creating your own momentum, creating your own belief that you're worth the work, that you're worth taking care of, that you're worth cultivating this energy for. Doesn't Corinne have a crap ton of goals, more than one at a time? Confused a little. Yeah. She has one focus, one big focus goal and several little things underneath. So yeah, she has goals that she works on, but she also knows how to focus her energy to make sure those goals get done. Does that make sense? I mean, I might have, well, I do, they're covered up. I have a sheet of paper behind my door and I have, I don't know, 5 goals for 2020, let's say. But I also know how to focus my goals in the areas that I know I can produce the work, right? So one of my goals is to read 10 books. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but I didn't read 10 this year. So I'm working on 10 for next year. It would be great if I did 10 in 6 months and then I could do 10 more. I have a monetary goal, you know, amount of money I want to put in my retirement account. But all those things kind of come together under the umbrella of a big goal to be the best coach, wife, grandmother, mother I have been so far in my life. And I have ways that I measure that, right? And to be the best coach I've been in my entire life, I need to do my reading. So I have a goal about my reading. I need to do my self-development. I need to listen to this many calls, right? So there's that big umbrella goal to be this amazing person and to achieve these things. But underneath are like the little sub-goals. Does that make sense, Sylvia? Really tune in to Corinne's Making 2020 Fantastic, whatever it's called. What is that? On the 30th, I'm going to tell you what that's called. It is called Getting Your 2020 Shit Together Workshop. That's what it's called. And it's all goal-oriented. Corinne is a big believer in having goals. Let's see. I think there's another question over here. Will this type of work be done during your relationships weekend? Whatever you guys bring to relationships weekend that needs to be worked on will absolutely be done. I don't know if we'll use these terms, but we will definitely work the model. We will definitely set relationship goals. We will definitely address whatever it is with your relationship with others or yourself that needs to be addressed. Okay, you're going to come out of there understanding how to use this influence habit to the betterment of yourself and your relationships. Because honestly, y'all, everything is defined by how you show up. Think about how you show up for your weight loss. Okay, are you 100% committed to all 4 basics every single day? If you're not, then you need to look at why. You know, just like I was telling the girl who had 40 pounds to lose, if she's not committed 100% to her weight loss goals, and she's got to figure out why. She's got to figure out how to become more committed, how to create this energy and this courage. You know, this is like, you know, how do you show up when things aren't easy? How do you show up when, you know, the partner, the husband comes in and says, I really don't want a salad tonight. Can we just please have a hot dog? What's your answer? How do you self-advocate? Not just with them, but with yourself. It's all about how you show up. All about in relationships with yourself and relationships with other people. It's all about what you bring to the table and what you think about the relationship with yourself. Does that help, Kim? Does that make sense? What else y'all got? She says, yes, thanks. What else do y'all have? Come on, hit me with some questions, or, you know, does anybody want to be coached on any of this? Is anybody unsure about what clarity means, or energy, courage, productivity, influence? It's really fascinating to me how all these things interrelate. If you listen to very many people, you can almost hear them talk the model. I went to see, has anybody seen Mr. Rogers yet? What is it called? The Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. I cannot believe how much that man was a life coach before before life coaching was a thing. If you haven't seen it, it was super good. One of the things he said, y'all, seriously, I pulled a receipt out of my purse and started taking notes. But one of the things he said is, and he talked about, he was talking about if it's something that you think, feel, or do. Basically, he said, if it's human, if it's something we humanly do, it's mentionable. So if it's a pain that you have, it's mentionable. If it's mentionable, it's manageable. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's so good. I mean, think about it. You know, the character he was talking to had this pain about his childhood. And Mr. Rogers said, and he said, I just don't want to talk about it. I just can't talk about it. And Mr. Rogers said, if it's human, it's mentionable. You can talk about it. And if you can talk about it, you can manage it. There's always ways to rethink, to gain clarity, to change your model about a circumstance in your life, whether it's a goal or your past or what's going on today, right? I mean, it was just so good. And then the other thing he said that was so good was about forgiveness. Now, I coach forgiveness periodically when people are very angry with, you know, with someone in their lives, or they feel they've been wronged. Forgiveness is a feeling that you generate for yourself, right? You can forgive someone, but they don't get the benefit of that forgiveness unless they feel forgiven, okay? But he said, forgiveness is a decision we make to release someone from the feelings of anger we have toward them. It's all about us releasing the anger. And I thought, oh, that's so good. That's so good. It was a super good movie. I'm going back and I'm taking a notebook. All right, I've got a hand raised here. Melissa's got her hand up. Let's see what you got, Melissa. I hope you meant to raise your hand. Did you?
Dealing up or not? Oh,
are you there?
I am.
All right, let's see if we can get your video started. Oh, your name might not be Melissa. Is it Jessica? What is your name? Jessica.
Jessica.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I put a funny
Jessica,
name
Jessica.
On.
That's all right. Well, I saw the I, anyway.
That's okay.
How
it
are
always
you?
Funny. What? I'm good. I was expecting that the first time I'd ever do a Zoom call, I'd be all done up and I'd look fancy and stuff. But guess what? I put up my hand. So there we go.
It's all right. It's absolutely all right. So what's up?
Okay. So a few years ago, I've had a, a, I had a rough couple of years where I've lost people and been going through grieving processes and such. Mm-hmm. And so it's coming up to the anniversary of my brother's death, which will be December 19th. He died in 2017 and he lost his life to suicide. Okay. And I choose to say it that way because I don't like when it's said in a way, oh, he committed suicide, because okay. I know my brother well enough that I think something took over him. That's okay. My choice to feel that way.
Sure, absolutely.
And the year before that, I lost a baby at the same time of year. So it, okay. And last year I decided to choose to just, like, if other people were celebrating Christmas around me, that was fine. And I would go to Christmas party, but I just didn't want to even open up the Christmas box at my house, because every time I opened it up, there was stuff in there that would be like, oh yes, and this happened, right? And it kind of hit me. And I know that I'm talking in a little bit of circles here, but even at my birthday, for years and years and years, I always felt like October was one of those months, and it came on strong. And this year, because of you guys, I chose to think differently about it. And it was amazing. Like, I just had a birthday, and it was just a birthday, and it was it turned out wonderfully, but I chose to think neutral about it, opposed to gathering up all these bad thoughts and waiting and then having it hit me even harder and not having the energy to deal with it.
So what was the thought you had about your birthday?
Previously or this year?
This year. What was the new thought?
The new thought was it's my birthday. Like, okay. Very neutral. It wasn't, that was my thought. It was just, it's my birthday and whatever aspires. And the feeling that came along with that wasn't full of like anxiety or building up to something that was going to be very negative. And it's, I know that I'm talking in circles, and I get that you're probably like, well, I should be coaching, but I feel like I've come so far with you guys, and I don't know, like, I always feel like I should be pressing the button to like get help. And at the same time, I'm like, but I feel like I'm doing so well, you know?
Okay.
So
how do you feel about Christmas this year? You managed your birthday through being neutral about it rather than being, and that was October, you said?
Yeah.
Rather than being upset or...
Yeah, and there was a few little waves of birthday, like, whoa, but then I just let them pass by. I didn't let them fester or go on about it for days or hours and be like, well, see, I told you so. That's how my birthday goes, right? And for this year, for Christmas, with my brother and the losing of the baby and everything, it's like I feel guilty because I feel like I should be more upset, you know, but I'm not. Okay.
Like, I should be more upset is the thought.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the model?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then guilty is the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. I can never spell when I'm writing on the whiteboard. Guilty. And when you feel guilty, what do you do?
When I feel guilty, I usually shut down.
Okay. And guess what that results in?
Not moving forwards.
Yeah, you become upset.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happens? That's what happens. You create upset for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this question. Should you be more upset?
I don't think so. I think that me and my brother have a wonderful relationship, and I've come to terms with a lot of things that, and I mean, there are times when he's closer to me, and then there's times when he kind of like is not as close to me, and that's fine. I just, I've come to terms with it and with what has all aspired to it, but he also left behind four beautiful daughters and my mom and my dad. And it's like, there's times where I feel that when I'm super upset, I shouldn't be as upset because look, they're so much closer. And then there's times when I feel that I should be upset that I'm not. Like, it's a very, like, I feel like I walk a tightrope when I get to the family matter. And,
okay.
And it's
that's because you're judging yourself and your feelings.
Yeah.
What if you just allowed yourself to be upset when mm-hmm. it was time to be upset?
Okay.
And to not be upset when it's not time. When you have this thought, me and my brother have a wonderful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't create upset for you, does it?
No, not at all.
What does that create?
A warm feeling.
Warmth. Like, okay.
Yeah. Like loved. He like.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you feel those things, what do?
I'm very like helpful and giving and loving and mm-hmm. I take care of myself and others.
Help myself and others.
Yeah.
Okay. And that result is honoring.
Well, then I become my future self.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. You honor your relationship with yourself and who mm-hmm. you want to be.
Yeah.
So this is so important. I have a couple things to say.
Okay.
Okay.
Of course. That's all why right. I pressed the hands up.
All right. There is nothing wrong with this thought at all. Okay. I don't want you ever judging it. In fact, I don't want you to judge any thoughts in your head because mm-hmm. all they are sentences that you decide whether or not become relevant in your life. This one, it sounds like you've decided is good and relevant. This is mm-hmm. one. This is one I choose to think as often as I can, right? I mean, mm-hmm. the story you told me about your brother and how you choose to think about the way he died just exuded this wonderful relationship and this warmth and love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
You wouldn't feel sad or miss him or grieve him if you didn't love him this much, if you didn't nurture your relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
So they come together and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You wouldn't feel mm-hmm. sad for his girls or for your parents if you didn't love them also. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So when you find yourself saying, I shouldn't think that or I shouldn't feel that, mm-hmm. just pause for a minute and say, no, it's okay that I think yeah. that and I feel that. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's how you allow those feelings to be there. Grief is a funny thing. We attach grief to, especially when we lose someone, a lot of times we attach it to memories or we attach it to dates or we attach it to things that we see that mm-hmm. that bring up the memory of I should be sad or I should be upset. He's gone. And there's that should word again. Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to be upset, but it's okay to not be upset. All right. So, mm-hmm. This time of year brings up memories for you of losing him, mm-hmm. of losing the baby, but that's okay. You can still have Christmas. You can still have memories. You can still have sadness all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad has been gone 4 years and he died November 29th, 4 years ago. And I just had a birthday a few days ago. And every year on my birthday, he would call me and he'd say, Kathleen, how old are you? You're getting so old. How old are you this year, Kathleen? And I would always say, well, Dad, you're the one with the 50-year-old daughter. So, you know, maybe you're a little bit older. But this was our dialogue every year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I could look at that with very, very sad thoughts. Or I can choose to remember it with tears because I miss him and laughter because he was so funny every year, asking me the same question every single year. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When November 29th or my birthday comes around, I don't miss him any more than I do any other day.
Mm-hmm.
I just have things that trigger a memory. And that's all. And that's okay.
Okay.
So that's what I offer you about December, is that you really don't miss your brother or your baby any more today, this time of year, than you do any other time of the year.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You can choose to just say that, you know, I just had a memory trigger, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate that.
Does that help?
Yes, very much so. And I appreciate you and everybody else at PNP. You guys have changed my life in so many ways. So,
yeah. Well, you know, you guys say that a lot, but it's really your own work that creates the result of changing your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we're the C line. PNP is the C line.
Yeah.
The coaches, Corinne, you know, whoever, the tribe, there's all the C line. You have a thought about us that creates, all goes all the way down the model and creates the result of, I changed my life.
Yeah. Well, so you guys are a very good circumstance to have.
Well, that's a great thought. We should all adopt that thought. PNP is a great circumstance.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you have a lovely evening, and I'll talk again soon. Okay.
Well, I'm glad you raised your hand.
I've broken the thing where I've like pressed the button. I think I'll do this more often. It feels good.
Good. I'm glad. Enjoy your Christmas season.
I will. Thank you.
All right. See ya. All right. Anybody else? Let's see. I don't see much going on in the chat. Oh, somebody liked the movie I was talking about. It was good. Not a whole lot more going on in the Q&A. Oh, they're good. There's a hand. Calling you up, Jay Lopez. Let's see what you got.
How do I do this? Start video?
Yep. Start video. Yep. I can hear you.
Okay. Hello, Kathy.
Hello. How are you?
This is my second time being coached, but my coaching is around whenever you go through, like having, like for example, this weekend I kind of had a big argument with my husband, and my result of that was having a big overeat. And emotional leading. So what do you suggest I do when I do have those type of situations? So I did have a plan, and all my plan went just astray from what I had planned for my day to begin with.
So tell me what your plan looked like.
So in the morning I had coffee, and then I had my salad. And then I had some protein with vegetables, but I completely went off plan because I was so upset and I just forgot a whole. Yeah, my whole day went. Yeah.
Okay.
Was bad.
All right. So the plan was protein with vegetables, but you went off plan because you were upset. Right.
Correct.
Okay.
So. And I think more than anything is a comparison to my mom. I always find that whenever there's something that shouldn't be crosses, comparing me to my mother.
Who compares you to your mother?
My husband.
Your husband. What does he say?
Like, for example, I had the question, hey, are we going to have this? Are we going to keep this food? And he's like, what? You're going to throw it away just like your mother did for Thanksgiving? And I'm like, that set me off. I was very upset.
You're going to ... just like your mother. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
That didn't make you upset. You had a thought about what he said that made you upset. Upset is a feeling.
Yes.
What he said is the circumstance. So why were you upset about what he said?
For one, I don't like for someone to be just to talk about bad about my mother and to comparing me to someone else.
Why don't you like being compared to someone else?
Because I'm my own person.
Okay. Why don't you like being compared to your mother?
I don't know. Whenever it's something negative, he always brings that up. Like, I don't hear him say, wow, this is good, like your mom. It's always something negative that he associates it with my mom.
Okay.
And that's upsetting to me.
So did you say he always associates negative with my mother?
Yes.
Is that right? Is that what upsets you?
Correct.
Okay.
I think so.
All right. Okay. And that upset you. You ate off plan. What else did you do?
I was just, that brought up a lot of emotions. Like, I was upset. I cried. I cried. Everything. I was.
Did you argue back?
I would say all the emotions. I was a roller coaster on that day.
But what did you do? Did you argue? Did you slam doors? Did you yell? Did you? You said you cried. You ate off plan.
Yeah, I think I also yelled.
Okay.
And I noticed that whenever that happens, that takes a whole like, it's a very, very like heavy, and it seems like my body will react to all of that, and I just don't lose weight. Like, okay. I retain that. Like, yeah, I
no,
don't know.
You're not losing weight because you're overeating and eating off plan when you get angry. That's, I mean, mm-hmm. Sure, you probably feel heavy because you've just overeaten and eaten off plan. Because you, in response to being upset. Okay. So the, mm-hmm. the result here is that you create your own negativity. Okay. You prove the thought, whether it's comparison to your mother or not, when you're eating off plan and overeating and crying and yelling, you're creating your own negativity. You know, there's nothing positive about that, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then the heaviness that you feel is because of all this negativity that you've created and because you've overeaten. So you're emotionally heavy and you're physically heavy, essentially,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? Because of all this negative energy that you've created.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Sorry.
Why can't he just say this stuff and you say, let's just not compare? You know, you say that a lot. You know, does he not like your mother? I mean, does it not? Why does that bother you? Why can't you just let him have his opinion and not go down the upset, crying, overeating train?
Yeah, I really have to think about that afterwards, like the next day or mm-hmm. when I was actually better. I did explain to him that it's hurtful whenever he compares me to my mom, and that line shouldn't be crossed because I can see that it was just when everything went down the drain for me. I had a really bad day, and that's why I'm here.
Let's think about that though. If you had catching this thought and letting it go all the way through this model, if you had taken a pause and said, I really don't like that, right? You would have bypassed upset, off plan, overeat, crying, and yelling just by having a better thought here that I need to talk to him about this now. Or this is I know how I've reacted in the past. This is not how I want to react in this moment. Okay? And that becomes a much better model if you were to think, I don't want to react this. I'm using blue now. I don't want to react the same way. Right? Which creates a feeling of more maybe open or aware. And then the action, instead of being yelling and crying, you just talk to him about how you feel about what he said. Right? You talk to him about it calmly. And then your result becomes you don't react in the same way. You don't overeat. You don't yell. You don't scream. You bypass all this unnecessary pain and suffering and arguing and whatnot.
Yeah, I sometimes need to take a pause because I think I'm a very emotional person. And whenever that, most times are fine, but whenever that, there's that comparison, that sets me off and it triggers something. I don't want to be compared to my mother.
Okay. So that's where you communicate with him that you'd rather him not do that. But when he does do it, you have to pause so that you don't let this model play out. Right? One of the things I teach a lot is being reactive versus being intentional. Okay? I teach it a lot with regard to eating, and this is why we create a plan, so that when we get stressed out or when we get tired, we already know what's on the plan to eat and we don't have to make any decisions. For you, when he comes across with a comment about you're just like your mother, you need to be intentional with how you respond rather than reactive with how you respond. Here's what I would do for you. I would write about it and I would visualize it. Mm-hmm. I'd pretend in my mind that he says something like that, and I'd go ahead and practice how I would respond. Okay? Because all your brain has practiced right now is yelling back and eating. If you were to practice taking a pause and saying, what's his name? Your husband's name?
Diego.
Okay. Diego, I'm going to take a pause right now and ask you not to do that again. Then it's up to him to react, but you've already decided that you're not going to react by yelling and eating. You're going to react by being intentional and decisive and committed to yourself.
That's going to take lots of practice.
It is, and that's okay. Seriously, it is, and that's okay, right? Because you're in charge of this thought, and it's an automatic one for you right now. You just have to catch it before it goes all the way through the model, okay? And it will take practice, and that's okay. You have to be patient with yourself as you change the habit of just reacting in anger and yelling and eating.
Yeah, I feel like I was busy at work and I wasn't really thinking about it. And then I was, well, there's a call and I wasn't planning to be in here. But again, just, I guess, going through it and really, you know, let that sink in and mm-hmm. practice it.
Yeah. Practice ahead of time. I mean, I'm serious. When I say visualization is a very, very powerful tool. If you just take, I don't know, 30 seconds when you get off this call and close your eyes, and in your mind, watch him tell you that and watch yourself react the way you want to react. Your brain doesn't know that it hasn't really happened. It thinks that you have changed the world because you have changed how you've done this. It says, oh, we can do it this way too, and chalk it up as a practice in that manner. Okay?
Yeah.
Just remember that just because he says this, doesn't go straight to overeating. You're responsible for the thought and the feeling and the action. When you take responsibility, he didn't upset you. When you take responsibility for having this thought that eventually led to overeating and eating off plan, then you realize that you can change the thought, that you can react differently to whatever it is he says. I am empowering you with this knowledge.
Thank you. Thank you.
Does that help?
That helps. It helps to get it out and to talk to someone else and get a different perspective.
Well, it's very interesting that you say that, because it's actually the same perspective as you offered. You just offered it the next day when you went back and said, I really don't want you to do that anymore. Right? Your pause was half a day. It was overnight, rather than taking a pause in that moment and breathing and saying, I really don't want you to do that anymore right then. See?
Yeah, I need to be more alert. Yeah.
Aware. Just be more aware. Just watch yourself.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Well, I have a lot to work on.
It's all good work. It's all work you can do. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. See ya. All right. There's one more question. Coaching versus going back to private therapy. How to decide which is better? Well, I think that depends on what you are working on. If you are I don't want to answer this. Understand that coaches are not therapists. Okay, first of all, that's an important distinction. We help you point out your painful thoughts and help you create alternatives to what you're thinking, just like I just did. I did not offer her a single thought, right? She gave it to me herself and we put it in the model. And I showed her how it creates results. Therapists treat, right? They're medical treatment types of people. By and large, they help you uncover the past. They help you resolve the past. Coaches, by and large, look at what you're thinking today, okay, and help you create a future. So some people have both. I actually have a couple private clients who are also seeing therapists, which is interesting, because they work with me on weight loss and on how they're showing up today, and they work with their therapist on other things. So it really depends, Jean, on what it is that you want to work on and whether or not you need someone with more medical background, or whether you need someone just to help you figure out how to show up and how to be committed to yourself and how to take care of yourself and how to create good energy and clarity in your world. Does that help? All right. Does anybody have anything else? There's one more hand. Let's just do one more hand and then I'll get out of here. All right, Roz, let's see what you got.
Hi, Kathy, can you hear me?
I can. Let's see if we can get your video started.
There we go.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, it's good to see you. Good,
good to see you.
I was going to raise my hand earlier, but I was driving. And so I figured, no, let's see if I can get home and catch you real quick.
Yes. Thank you for that.
That just makes common sense.
Yes. So what's up?
Like, I think I mentioned. All right. Well, there's two different things. Let me start with the relatively easier one. I've noticed that I tend to do really well for a while with following my plan and all of this. And then I'll wind up with you know, either a vacation, a special trip, and it kind of starts a little slide of just little overeats. And then I come home and I go back to the plan, but the little eats are still there. So the first correction is I start planning. And I'm trying to figure out, where can I nip this faster in the bud than sort of letting it run its course? I've noticed this tends to be a cycle where I kind of run through, suddenly there's this urge for Oreos, haven't wanted them for years, mm-hmm. not for years, but for months. Mm-hmm. Then another week it's something else, and I'm like, okay. And I know that this is a pattern that I have. And I'm trying to level up a way to kind of sit with it longer.
Okay.
And turn off basically get the front brain engaged and let the lizard brain in the back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's where the 90-second countdown can come in, right? First of all, let me ask you this. Do you think urges are going to go away? Or
no.
Do you think, right. So the urge doesn't, I don't understand where the urge comes from is really an irrelevant thought, because urges are going to come forever. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think of, all right. So there's this pattern. I know it. I'm trying to come back faster than kind of letting these things run their course from, all right. So it's Oreos, then it's salted caramel candy, something, mm-hmm. it's just something else that I'm like, and then I give into it. And
so the urge isn't the problem.
You know better.
The urge isn't the problem.
Right.
Right. Okay. It's allowing the urge to be there, or answering the urge, or resisting the urge. Those are your three choices. Just leave it be, let it be there, resist it, white knuckle it, fight it, or eat.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. You're choosing
eat. What I do have is I also remember your voice in my head. What are you hungry for?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, that helps for a little bit.
Well, so what if the answer is Oreos? Then what do you do?
Well, they're not on my plan.
Okay.
It's my next reminder.
Yeah. So you talk to yourself. You have that dialogue with yourself. That urge voice in my head, I call it my negotiator. Seriously. It's like I have someone in my head going, but really, you love Oreos. Yeah, but they're not on the plan. Oh, but come on. You were good today. Yeah, but I don't really want any Oreos right now. I want them, but I'm not going to have any. But Kathy, you lost 2 pounds last week. You've got room for Oreos. It's like that justification voice that just keeps coming back in. You just have to set up that dialogue, Roz, and decide that the negotiating can continue. You're just not going to answer it. Or you are, but answer it knowing that I'm taking responsibility for this choice. It's not getting away from you. It's just a mm-hmm. series of choices that you're making.
And my recovery worksheets are filled with, I chose to do this because I was buffering from some, generally it's buffering a feeling, and I'll write down what the feeling is, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I sometimes it's just, my feet are bothering me, and I've been overdoing it, so they hurt, and I want them to stop. So eating chocolate is not going to solve that, but in the moment, it gives me that hit of dopamine that I'm not getting elsewhere is really what it's doing.
So that's what you tell yourself. Is this the dopamine hit I want, or is this, or do I just need to sit here and, have achy feet? Which is the ultimately going to get me the result that I want? Because the dopamine, sure, it's a hit. It's going to last, about 15 minutes? Then your feet are going to hurt some more.
Yeah,
and you're going to be that further behind in your weight loss efforts.
I know, and I am
so just
close
prepare,
to Wonderland.
Yeah, just prepare your responses to the negotiator. Write down all
and
those.
And I keep getting a longer list.
And
the longer
I've been
in the tribe, and it's fine.
Right. You write down all those things that the negotiator says, and you prepare those responses. And then you just kind of, when the dialogue starts to happen, you kind of have to laugh it off, and say, there you are. Negotiator's kicked in pretty hard tonight.
Well, and I have exceptions planned for tomorrow.
Good.
On purpose. It's a celebration.
Yeah. Good. What else you got? Anything else?
The other question is reframing thoughts about career and professionalism. Well, not professionalism. Basically, it's definitely time to change jobs, to move back to something that's a little more intellectually whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm bored. Mm-hmm. You know, there are parts of my job that I took the job for I really like. I've been job hunting for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And yeah, 3 years. You know, getting interviews and just something else, just it's not clicking on the other side, so I'm not getting any offers.
Okay. So what do you need to reframe?
I'm not sure. I just, you know, I'm discouraged. I'm not giving up. I just, you know, I get discouraged. I get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I keep trying to find outlets in the job. I think it's more, is there something I'm missing? Not so much reframing, but maybe sort of, is there something I have not thought of to try and work through it? So I thought I'd bounce it off you.
Well, I would ask you, what have you not thought of?
And that's what I'm wondering. What have I not thought of trying? Mm-hmm. So I'll just keep thinking.
Well, let's ask this question. If you had to come up with three new things to try to find another job, what would they be?
But I guess given where I'm currently situated, I still want to stay within the federal government. Too close to retirement to lose the benefits.
Okay.
So some of the things that would make sense, you know, that you would think of, I'm like, yeah, but that's not going to work because federal government doesn't hire that way. But I can still network. I can still let people know I'm looking and be more public about that. Mm-hmm. And I have done more of that.
I would watch the thought federal government doesn't work that way. How many times have you changed jobs within the federal government?
Two, three.
Yeah. So federal government does work that way.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, things like going to the professional meetings and networking mm-hmm. gets me so far, but mm-hmm. their hiring practices don't mesh up with the rest of what follows from that, from the private side.
Oh, well, sure. That's true. But you just figure out
how to... And that's what I mean by that statement.
Okay. So you just figure out how to work the hiring practices.
Right.
You know, that's what I did too.
I can network.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So there's one.
It's similar. It's, you know...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's one. More networking.
I am looking for opportunities. My current job is to teach environmental law. Mm-hmm. To environmental professionals, biologists, chemists, engineers. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking that one of the things that may be going on when I'm interviewing is a perception, and I said these are thoughts, but they're kind of, you know, like I'm kind of grasping for, well, what else is going on? Maybe what's going on is, you know, on the other side of the table, or in my case, 90% of the time, the phone, is they're thinking I've been away from actually practicing law too long.
Okay, so put your brain to work on
opportunities to do that.
Yeah, put your brain to work on how you can.
There are ways to do that.
Right.
Because I do not currently have a position where I actually have an environmental law client.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very strange job in that regard. And I think the third is, you know, the academic piece is to do some publishing again.
Mm-hmm. So see, you came up with your own answers.
That's because you just gave me the right question.
That's right.
Because you guys, well, you guys don't, and I think, you know, what I think a lot of us realize, and that's why I type C stands for catalyst in the comments,
mm-hmm.
Coming at it from a chemical, a minor in chemistry, that's really what you guys do for us.
Mm-hmm.
You ask the right questions. Well, anyway, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck in your job search. And
well, thank you.
I guess I'll see you soon.
You will see me soon. Well, May. I can't get there any faster. April didn't work. July, I have to go look at the dates. I'm really hoping July works. Otherwise, possibly October. Okay. Otherwise, perhaps I'll throw something up on Instagram for tomorrow's big event. My birthday.
Oh, your birthday. Nice.
My birthday, and it's a very big number.
Yeah. December birthdays are best. Right? Because everyone decorates for you.
It's a big number.
It's a big number.
They do. Well, mine's a week before Christmas.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday.
Yeah, it's a big number. It's divisible by 5 and 12 and 10 and 6.
And you're still running. You're pretty amazing, Roz.
Oh, I don't know. My podiatrist and I had a nice chat about that, and she said yesterday she doesn't want me to stop.
Good. Don't stop.
Because, you know, helps that she's a Disney fan. She likes the bling as much as I do. But, you know, as long as I can stay active. Anyway,
right.
Thank you again.
All right.
Have a
Take
good
care.
Holiday season.
You
Bye.
Too. See ya. All right, everybody. That's it. I hope you have a great rest of your evening, and I will see you soon. Bye.